Quiz Game by Andy Hamilton, starring James Grout as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, and Andy Hamilton as Satan.
So then I said to Mrs. Dalrymple, I said, listen, you may be the headmistress of this school, and I may only be a six-year-old boy, but I'm the one who happens to possess the negatives. Then I said, I also possess an audio tape of you shouting, "Kiss my nipples, Mr. Perkins, you elbow-patched love juice maker!" And you know, funnily enough, all the Fs on my school report magically change themselves into As. Are you listening?
What? Oh, I'm sorry.
No. What's the matter with you? Normally you're so cheerful and positive and annoying.
Yes, well, recent events have lowered my spirits somewhat.
What recent events?
Well, Satan took me out to the living world and we eavesdropped on Deborah, my wife.
Widow?
Yes, my widow. And anyway, she was talking to her boyfriend and she told him how much she had loved me, even though I wasn't very exciting.
Ah, well, it's the niceness thing that makes you so dull, you see. Nice people are boringly unsexy. That's why women are attracted to bastards.
Oh, for God's sake.
It's a well-known fact. I read it in a magazine.
What magazine was that? Bastards Weekly.
How do you know about that? That's supposed to be a secret publication.
You mean there is actually a publication for...
For citizens who need to dump toxic waste or find a backstreet abortionist, yes. Oh. You can't find that stuff in Yellow Pages.
Oh, God.
Oh, come on, cheer up, Prof. You're supposed to be helping me unravel the mysteries of my troubled personality. Mm. Have I ever told you about the time I administered a punishment beating to my sister's guinea pig, eh? It's hilarious.
It's all right, pitiful mortals, don't stand up. I shan't be long, I've just dropped by for a quick gloat. So, how are you, Prof? Apart from the torment of discovering your wife regarded you as a glorified cup of Ovaltine.
Oh, bugger off.
Bullseye!
Look, I'm not in the mood, okay?
Well, I am. I've just been creating some brilliant discord in the world of men. I tell you, see, I've discovered this great new diabolical ruse. I take on the form of a city gent, I get on the Northern Line, going home in the rush hour. I wait till the train's packed solid with tired, tense passengers. Then I set off my mobile. It trills this nerve-jangling electronic tune, a very slow version of The Sun Has Got His Hat On. And it's very loud and makes a lot of people glare at me. Till I take it out of my pocket, then it rings twice as loud and everyone glares at me. But then comes the exquisite torture. I start to share a totally pointless conversation with 200 trapped people. You know, stuff like, yeah, well, I'm just coming into Clapham South now, so I should be home in approximately 1 1/4 minutes, yeah. So, yes, you can start to drizzle some olive oil over the roasted fennel and open that Montrachet so it can breathe, right? Then, without any warning, I laugh very loudly at something only I can have heard. Like that. Then I resume the conversation and basically just keep going till my fellow passengers have all gone puce with suppressed rage. Then just get off the train, secure in the knowledge that the next person whose mobile rings will get their face kicked in.
Now that is class.
Well, you see, it's basically a question of having a ruthless mental approach. If you've either got it or you haven't.
Sire, sire.
And here's someone who hasn't.
My prince, I need the benefit of your towering intellect.
To you, all intellects are towering. What's the problem?
Well, you see, this mortal here just checked into the arrivals lounge, but there seems to be some confusion about his occupation.
And there is no confusion. My name is Travis Connolly, and I am a professional writer.
Who's wearing a McDonald's uniform?
I am wearing a McDonald's uniform because I am a writer who sometimes moonlights in the catering industry to supplement my income and research earthy characters.
Oh, what sort of thing do you write?
Film scripts. Well, script. But it's a great script. I pitched it to a studio exec just recently. I told him I saw Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan as the leads.
And what did he say?
He said, shut up and give me my cheeseburger. But then another studio chief, Mort Blankenheim III, Jr., I bumped into him when I was cleaning windscreens, and he took a copy of my script away with him.
And what was his response?
Well, it went kind of quiet, and, well, then he wouldn't take my calls, and then I got so desperate for some feedback that I went to his house, and, well, I could see him. through the window, just sitting watching TV, and I just tapped lightly on the window, and, well, I guess I must have startled him a bit because he shot me dead.
Yes, yes, all right. Well, Scumspoon, I think we have safely established that this one worked in the fast food trade. And as I recall, the designated torment for that is...
being trampled into a pink pate by a hormone-fed buffalo.
Correct.
But I'm a film writer.
Whose work has never seen the light of day and never will.
Why do you say that?
Eh?
Well, I mean, Mr. Blankenheim may have killed me, but he never said he didn't like my script.
Oh.
Maybe he loved it.
Oh, forget.
So I've still got a hope that my movie will get made.
Now, that is magnificent, isn't it? Even though Travis here is dead, he's still clinging to his hopes. Somehow he just epitomizes mankind.
Well, you mean he's a moron, I agree. He's very representative.
No, no, he's a wonderful reminder how hope can sustain.
Oh, yes, and hope.
Yeah.
Yes. Do you know what hope is, Prof? Hope is the inability to accept disappointment. Because you lot aren't grown up enough to accept the bleak reality of your situation, you chase after these ludicrous, unattainable dreams.
Oh, that's nonsense.
It's hope that makes a drowning man struggle or makes an otherwise rational being buy a season ticket for Crystal Palace, I tell you.
Well, it's also what kept Mandela going on Robben Island and what keeps people alive when they're buried in earthquakes or capsized in the Atlantic.
That's right. When my parents were trapped at the bottom of that well, it was hope that kept them alive.
You see? I mean, that is how did your parents end up in a well?
Nobody knows. My money's on a freak gust of wind.
I tell you, you fleshlings would have a much easier time if you didn't torment yourselves with this hope thing, if you were more like Scumspawn.
More like me, my prince?
Yeah, you see, Scumspawn here has no hope of being anything more than a defective, inferior being. But he accepts it. Isn't that right, Scummy?
Well, no, it isn't, Your Majesty.
What?
I do have hope. I live in the hope that one day you'll acknowledge the love.
Don't say that word, especially with reference to me, or I'll fill your nostrils with lobsters again.
So, Scum Spawn's got it too. It seems like everyone needs hope.
I don't need it, pal. I get by very nicely without it. Thank
me
you very
thinks
much.
He doth protest too much.
Me thinks he doth ask for a nose full of lobsters.
You're just getting cross because you can't satisfactorily explain the force that makes Travis here still believe somehow that the goal of his life, his film, might yet come to fruition.
Oh, if that were to happen, I'd be totally content, believe me.
No, I don't believe you.
What?
I don't believe you would be totally content because humans never are. Even if they're given everything they ask for, they always want one more toy before they'll leave the shop.
Oh, yes. I know exactly the toy you mean. It's the big, expensive one that your parents won't get you. The super toy. And you beg and you implore them and you throw yourself on the ground and start pounding the floor with your fists. And still they say no and you're filled with rage. And it's a rage that lasts for weeks and weeks until a policeman comes round and starts asking questions about how your parents ended up down that well. That's the kind of thing you're talking about, isn't it?
Well, listen, Satan, sir, I'm sorry to take issue, but I just know that once my film was made, I wouldn't ask for anything more.
Yes, you would, Burger Boy.
Well, then, prove it.
What?
Prove him wrong. Let him make his film down here. I mean, there's no shortage of potential cast, is there?
Well, no, I suppose not. I mean, my domain does boast most of the world's top actors. Garrick, Wolfitt, Charles Laughton, Richard Burton.
Ah, Richard Burton.
He's a troublemaker. Keeps trying to drink the lake of fire.
What about camera equipment?
Well, there were some cameras with that film crew who arrived recently. They were killed in studio while filming an advert. They were all eaten by a polar bear.
What was the ad for?
Lillette's. I think it was quite a lateral sort of concept.
That's great, you've got everything I need.
Hang on, we don't allow recreational activities in hell. I wouldn't even let the demons have that squash ladder.
Well, it's not recreational. It's all in the very good cause of proving you right.
Is it?
Yes. About the stupidity of hope and man's inability to be content.
Oh. Oh, right. Oh, well, since you put it like that, okay, but Don't spend too long proving me right, okay? Travis here is owed his introductory torment. Now, you can have Scumspawn as a gopher.
Oh, I'm sure he'll be a great help.
No, he won't. He'll cock things up and get on your nerves. Pleased to say. Now, you must excuse me. I've got my regular appointment with Howard Hughes and a barrel of badger vomit.
Why badger vomit? Does he have a phobia of badgers?
Well, he does now.
Well, this is exciting. I've always wanted to see the making of a movie, ever since my parents took me to the flicks for the first time. 1941 it was. We saw Bambi.
A great movie.
You like Bambi?
Love it. Especially the comic sequences, you know, like when the mother gets shot.
Hey, guys, can you keep the chat down? I'm trying to hold auditions here.
I'm sorry.
Next.
I am Garrick, Colossus of the Shakespearean stage.
Uh-huh. Do you have an audition piece?
Indeed, it is a soliloquy on the death of Hercules written by that oft-neglected Elizabethan dramatist, Percival Bartholomew.
Never heard of him.
He was cut down in his prime, beheaded in the Tower for high treason after the first night of his comedy entitled Queen Elizabeth is Ugly and Bald. The titles were never his strong point.
Okay, in your own time.
Oh, woe, see how he lies here, Strickham, the greatest hero of them all. Oh, that I could rip mine eyes from their sockets so that I could not gaze on this abomination. Oh, that I could tear out my tongue and feed it to the darkling raven bird of malice so that I could no longer speak those poisoned words. That mighty Hercules is dead. Dead! Dead!
You've not worked a lot on film, have you?
What is film?
What would you say if I were to offer you a minor role?
I'd say I've killed men for less.
So you won't do a walk-on?
Walk-on, no. Stride-on, yes!
Okay, just wait over there. Can I have the next audition, eh, please?
Have you read this script of Travis's, then?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's fundamentally a reworking of the 1940s classic Casablanca. Only with a psychopathic mutant alien as the Nazis.
Hey, I won't tell you again, guys. Cut the yakking. This actor is waiting to do his audition piece.
No, I'm sorry.
Okay, sir, away you go in your own time. Thank you, Mr. Valentino. We'll be in touch.
Yo, Prof, how are things in Tinseltown? Has he cast the romantic leads?
Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet them. He was so charismatic and she was, oh, so beautiful.
But Swedish, still likes a trade, isn't it? Now then. Oh, hello, here comes Bogey.
Who's directing this lousy picture?
I am the writer slash director. Is there a problem?
Yes, the script. It stinks. Stinks like Sidney Greenstreet's armpits.
Well, you do surprise me, Mr. Bogart, because my piece is actually an homage to Casablanca.
Yeah? Well, Casablanca stank, especially the ending. They told me they'd use the one where Rick fills Laszlo with lead and then screws the Dane there on the runway. I know you, don't I?
The name's Satan, Mr. Bogart. We met when I welcomed you into my kingdom.
Yes, I remember. The 60-foot-long leech.
My homage to the African queen.
Great news, movie makers. I found us an experienced cameraman.
Albert Claypole, 30 years behind the camera, at your service.
Thrilled to meet you, Albert. Now, here is the camera. We're working on 35mm, and I thought we could kick off by maybe blocking the first scene.
No problem.
Now, if you can just get a nice close-up for me of Miss Bergman. Miss Bergman, would you mind stepping onto the set, please?
And not before time.
Can I just say, Miss Bergman, what an honor it is to meet you.
Why, thank you.
Well done, Scumspawn. He seems like a shrewd find. Very experienced.
Yes, I think Albert proves I'm not quite the defective, totally inferior being that some portray me as.
Now, Miss Bergman, if you could inch slightly camera left. Oh, yes, that's a nice framing. Now, if you could just look at the camera and say cheese.
Cheese?
Yeah, and then we'll do a group shot with the bride's family.
You've been waiting for
Sogar.
Even by your standards, Scumspawn, that is the king of comic cock-ups. Oh, best be on me evil way. I'm due at Victoria to possess the spirit of the station announcer. Passengers are advised when leaving the train not to look down, as there is absolutely no gap.
Look, I am the auteur, I decide.
But look, this character is a violent, awesome destroyer who rips people to shreds with his 18-inch-long talons, isn't he?
That's right.
Well, all we're saying is that we're not sure that Noel Coward is right.
Look, I feel Mr. Coward will bring an unexpected quality to the mutant alien. I'll make him take off the dressing gown, obvious.
Yes, but
besides, he's delighted to be playing a different kind of role, isn't that right?
I'm terribly, terribly thrilled, dear boy.
Can we stop all this Nancy Boy talk and do some rehearsing?
Sorry, Mr. Bogart, yes, of course. Now, this is the climax to the big love scene with Miss Bergman here. Now, what do you do?
I know how to do a love scene, pal. I grab the dame hard by the shoulders, like this, and I say, stop fighting this, sister, it's bigger than both of us. And she gets emotional and all hysterical, till I have to slap her around to calm her down. Then suddenly I kiss her so hard I bruise her teeth. And at first, she tries to beat me off with her little fists, but then she melts and starts kissing me back. Then the orchestra strikes up, and soon there's not a dry seat in the house.
Well, the thing is, Mr. Bogart, sir, modern audiences would probably find that kind of love scene a tad unrealistic.
I agree with Travis. I think a more convincing way for you to portray a sensitive, caring lover would be if you were to spend 20 minutes arousing me through clitoral stimulation. Well, it was just an idea.
I'm not wasting time on some dame's undercarriage. People will think I've turned into a sissy.
Okay, listen, you guys. Anyway. Let's look ahead to the moment when you two are suddenly attacked by the mutant alien.
Oh, yes. Now, dear boy, the script says that I leap forward and start slicing flesh with my steel talons.
Uh-huh.
And I was wondering if instead I could just lacerate them with some very witty epigrams.
No epigrams, just a blood-freezing roar.
What? Like this? Ah.
No. Arr! That's a roar.
No, this is a roar.
Garrett, you're only an extra in this scene, so just...
I am a mutant alien. No.
Oh, for God's sake! What is the matter with you people? These roars are pathetic. Do none of you know what it feels like to be a psychopathic mutant alien? Perfectly simple. You're a deformed creature who's filled with hatred. Hatred for all that smug, complacent normality in the universe. And this hatred burns and bubbles like a volcanic magma inside you. So when you roar, it all bursts out! And the roar sounds like this! Roar!
Oh, that's better. I feel strangely relaxed now.
What the bloody heck was that?
That was Thomas letting rip a lifetime's worth of hatred.
Well, no, actually, it was just years 0 to 5.
This was very impressive, yeah. I haven't heard a roar like that since that time I spiked the Reverend Ian Paisley's mouthwash with Tabasco.
And that roar has just won him the part as a psychotic monster.
And no acting required. Well done, Thomas. Now, how much longer is this shambles of a movie going to take, eh? Only I need Scumspawn back. I've got a special job for him.
Oh, that is nice. It'll make him feel wanted.
Yes. Howard Hughes has been thrashing about rather messily in his barrel of badger's vomit, and I need someone to lick up the spillage. So, where is Scumspawn, anyway?
He's tracking down a saxophone.
A saxophone?
Yes, you see, in the final scene, Joe, a person of color who plays music in the bar, is asked by the hero to play the lover's tune. And it all builds to this fantastically romantic climax where...
Stop right there.
Oh, right. You mean you don't want me to tell you the ending?
No, I mean, stop right there. You're boring me, Richard.
Look, if you haven't got something constructive to contribute, then just leave us alone.
Ooh, get her. Yeah. Tell me, Prof, have you been enjoying seeing these Hollywood legends closer?
Well, yes, I have, actually. It's been fascinating.
Good, good. It's probably been taking your mind off the revelation that your wife found you as exciting as a form like a work surface.
Yes.
Yes, because the last thing you want is to be constantly reminded that your marriage was something of a sham. That would really depress you, wouldn't it? If someone kept reminding you of that again and again, you know.
Listen, can we cut the cackle and get this picture finished?
Yes, actually, I kind of wanted to have a talk about that.
About what?
About when this picture's finished. I'd be...
Totally content, remember?
Yes, I know I'd... Well, it seems a shame no one will see it. I'd be grateful if we could arrange a small screening.
He wants a screening now, Prof. See, what did I tell you? Never, ever happy. All right, then. You can have your screening.
Yes, why not? Where's the harm?
Oh, there'll be plenty of that. Now, you are probably wondering why I've gathered so many of you demons together in one place.
It's not another health and safety seminar, is it?
No, it's not.
Yeah, only that was a total waste of time.
Yeah, especially all that stuff about fire extinguishers.
Oh, look,
why would hell need fire extinguishers?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, fire prolongers, I mean, they'd be useful, you
see. It's not. Will you shut up? Shut up. It's not a health and safety thing. You're going to watch a film made by mortals. Now, it's taken a long time for them to finish, as they had a few problems during filming. The lead, Humphrey Bogart, walked off the picture when he was asked to do a scene which involved him making a quiche. He was replaced at the last moment by the Prof there, a man with all the charisma of a toilet duck. You may find some of the cinematography a little strange. This is because the cameraman insisted on every shot having a cake in the middle. Finally, I should warn you that on this big white thing called a screen, you will see vivid, realistic images of violence. There will also be scenes involving sloppy kissing. So, patrons are requested to kindly throw up in the receptacles provided, okay? All right, and roll film.
Hold me, my darling. You know I'll always love you.
Oh, bloody hell.
Till the stars fall from the sky.
Dear, oh dear.
Till the end of time.
Oh, here come the tears. Feel free to jeer, guys. Guys?
Shh.
Who shushed me then? Satan will not be shushed, all right?
And I will always love you, my darling. But we must go on different journeys, you and I.
Right, that does it. I can hear a demon blubbing. Is it you?
No, I've just got some dust in my eyes.
Remember me as I am now, as I'll remember you. And no matter what new worlds we are destined to explore, in our hearts, this moment will live forever.
Oh, I can't take much more of this.
Joe, I'm here. Play our tune, Joe.
Whoa. How come Scumscorn can play the sax like that? Oh, I get it. It's dubbed on, right?
No, he played live. He just picked up the sax for the first time, and a few minutes later he was playing like this.
He's got an amazing talent.
Well, Scumscorn? Talented? No. That's just... Well, it's not possible.
Scumscorn ends his sax solo in a second.
Good.
And then starts playing the piano.
Oh,
brilliantly.
Right, stop the film, that's it. It's all over. No, I'm not having any... No.
I take it you can't play the piano,
Of course I can, I just choose not to. I find it, it's too plinkety-plonkety for me. Anyway, thank God we don't have to sit through any more of that trite fest, eh, lads?
Well, we thought it was terrific.
Yeah, well, yeah. Thank you kindly.
Especially the mutant alien.
Yeah. Oh, you were so scary.
Really? Well, cheers.
Right, the next demon I see asking Thomas for his autograph gets their ass turned to cinders. Is that clear? Now back to your post, a lot of you. Go on. You let me down very badly. Oh, and Scumspawn.
Yes, my prince.
Eat that saxophone.
But you just can't cope with the idea of him having a talent, can you?
Eat it, Scumspawn.
That will give him a life of his own, make him less dependent on you.
With respect, Prof, shut your face. Scumspawn, eat that sax.
Yes, my prince.
It's funny, you know. I've never had any of that stuff before. You know when someone says you've done well?
Praise.
Yeah. Praise. Never had any. Well, not unless you include my accountant telling me I was the cleverest embezzler he'd ever known.
Well, making this film has been quite cathartic in a way, hasn't it? It's somehow given us all a chance to grow.
A chance to grow?
Sorry. Crept up on me.
Yes. Thomas got his praise, and I got to make the kind of speech I'd like to have made to Deborah.
Ah, but you never did you? No, you were too much of a boring dullard.
Ah, no, my confidence is very much restored in that department. You see, Ingrid Bergman said I was the best kisser she'd known. Better even than Clark Gable. We did tongues and everything.
Oh, I'm getting it. I am getting so cross now.
Oh, and while I'm in full gloat mode, you've lost the argument.
What?
Travis proved you wrong. He proved hope is more than the inability to accept disappointment, and now he's fulfilled his dream, he's perfectly content. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, you see?
Although...
Oh, no.
Well, it does seem a pity that my film won't be shown on general release.
Travis!
I mean, you could probably arrange that, great Satan, couldn't you? Get it distributed, shown in multiplexes all over the world? It's not much to ask.
Well, Prof, what did I tell you, eh? One more toy from the shop.
Sorry, I can't help it. It's a wind instrument, isn't it?
It looks like your gloat was a little bit previous, Professor. Well, I've got some leaves to sprinkle on the railway line, Oh. And don't forget, mortals, hope springs eternal. In fact, that's what's so funny about it.
You do realise what you've done, Travis, don't you? Hmm? You've handed Satan a victory. And in doing so, you've basically discredited the whole of mankind.
Oh, I am truly sorry. You know, it's a terrible feeling for a man to know he's let down his friends.
Yes, it is.
In fact, I've written this other script around that very scenario.
Oh, no.
I just know we could get it made. It's The Lion King meets Reservoir Dogs.
Old Harry's Game featured Andy Hamilton as Satan, James Grouth as the Professor, Jimmy Mulville as Thomas, and Robert Duncan as Scumspawn, with Felicity Montague, Philip Pope, Nick Revel, and Michael Fenton Stevens. The program was written by Andy Hamilton and produced by Paul Mayhew Archer.